this is Jen Swanson, host of the Authors of Influence Radio. And this episode today, we are interviewing Nina Shoroplova, who is the author of Trust the Mystery, Questions, Quotes, and Quantum Wisdom. I'll turn you over right now to the conversation that I had with Nina. So welcome to the show, Nina.
Thank you.
And we're going to jump right in, and I'd love to ask you if you could tell the listeners a little bit about who you are. What is it that you do?
Right. by the time you've reached my age, there's a lot to think about. Who am I? What do I do? I do lots of things. One of the things that will be of most interest to the readers, I hope, is the fact that I'm an author and I'm an editor. And most recently, as you've mentioned, I've published my second book, Trust the Mystery, Questions, Quotes, and Quantum Wisdom. So I'm someone who enjoys looking at life and studying it and asking myself questions and wondering about things. And I really enjoy finding the answers to the questions that I ask. And often they're answers that I feel could be useful to other people, and I feel the questions could be useful to other people, which, of course, is why it's part of my book title. And so I'm always moving along that path of deeper knowledge. And it might be a deeper knowledge that's a mental knowledge, or it might be an emotional knowledge or a gut knowledge, and a spiritual knowledge. And I feel that our lives here on the earth are that we set ourselves challenges and that we grow through those challenges. And it's good to sort of capture what that challenge is and how we negotiate it, how we make sense of it and meaning of it in our lives.
And you've had a long and varied background of things like working in healthcare and being a nutritionist and alternative medicine, and you're on stage performing too as an actor and singer. So do you want to say anything about those things?
Certainly. So I grew up in Wales, where everybody, when I grew up there, everybody sang. It didn't matter where we were, whether we were on the rugby field or in a church or at somebody's house. There was usually a piano, and people would gather around and sing. In a pub, after, a rugby game, there was always a lot of singing, and it was loud. And so I learned to sing loudly. And then when I moved to Canada as an adult, I emigrated here, and I wondered why the country was so quiet. and I just couldn't understand it. I came to Penticton. I lived there when I first arrived. And it didn't make any sense to me. And I finally figured out that people aren't singing. And so I actually sought out a place to sing. And it was strange for me to have to do that, because in Wales, people sang wherever they were, wherever they gathered. It's not the same now. I've been back since, and it's not the same. You know, they have televisions up in the pub, so you don't sing because you're going to conflict with whatever program is on the television. So anyway, then I realized I need to do more with this singing. And so I pursued that through the Royal Conservatory of Toronto in actually taking singing exams. And I guess that's how I've lived my life, is I find something that really interests me, that seems to be deeply me, really resonates for me, and I take it as far as I can take it. And so I have always sung, and I continue to sing. I'm now singing with a choir in Vancouver called the City Soul Choir, and it's a change for me. The previous choir I sang with in performance was the Vancouver Bach Choir, and so that's a lot of classical music. Now with the City Soul Choir, it's more gospel music, soul music, heart music, and the difference is that with classical music in a choir, the singer is usually holding the music and reading off the page. But with City Soul Choir, we don't carry any music. It's all oral, and that takes it into a different place in the body and in the heart. I'm really enjoying that. That's a lot of fun.
It sounds like it would be a lot of fun, and it sounds like it's in keeping with some of the other creative things that you've been doing, like cooking and other things like that. What inspired you to write a book? This is not your first book, but this particular book, what inspired you to get creative and put it out there?
Writing is a very long, slow process. The first book I wrote took me 8 years. And after finishing, when I finished that book, I started writing children's books, and they just didn't get off the ground. and I just let it go for the longest time. And then once 2000 came, I started thinking once more, maybe I am going to write something more. And what would it be? And at that time, I was still working full time, but I was planning to retire from paid work for somebody else. As I moved into retirement, I actually started along this path that you mentioned of holistic nutrition, and I trained as a holistic nutritionist. And that became another sort of groundwork, if you like, because when I first left high school, I trained as a physiotherapist. So a very physical, grounded body set of knowledge to do with health, as is holistic nutrition to do with health, the health of the body. And holistic nutrition is more because it also talks not only about what you eat, but how you eat it, and who you eat it with, and how much of it is grown naturally and locally, and so on. It's not just the food itself. And I guess that whole process, that started me thinking about the health of the whole body. Once again, and I have been thinking about the health of the whole body forever, I guess. So it's the health of the body physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And my spiritual path has been a very strong determinant. Is that a good word?
Yeah, sure.
it's been something that has led me along for at least since my third or fourth decade, it has been leading me along a path. And so from holistic nutrition, I started to, because I'm a student once again.
It seems like you're a lifelong student.
I am.
Yes.
I very definitely am a lifelong student. And so I started to realize there was meat I could capture, if you like. Not just gravy, but actual solid nuggets of knowledge that could help others. And so I started to write little pieces. And my book is Trust the Mystery. I've written it as a series of little scenes. That's what I call them, scenes, like as in a play. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of theater, as you mentioned, too. So I often think of life, perhaps, as a series of scenes. and sometimes it's hard for me to integrate those scenes, but that's very important. But anyway, so I could start to write little scenes for my book that had a beginning and an end and a story in the middle and a purpose. And I always realized I wanted to, in the process of writing these scenes, I knew I was engaging with a reader, and I wanted the reader to come away with more knowledge of themselves, which is why I've added the questions. And indeed, that's what I'm finding out is happening, is that readers are really taking the time to immerse themselves into the book, Each of the scenes has a little story. It might be about my life. It might be about somebody else's life. And they're not deep, deep stories. They're simple stories which people really resonate with. And so they then can say, oh, yes, I that happened. And my purpose is to try and help them understand their own life in deeper ways.
You mentioned before that you have been interested in making meaning.
Yes.
And so this is part of what this book is intended to do, is help people to figure that out?
Yes, absolutely. To make meaning of their own lives, to help them see their own journey, where they are, what they perhaps still yearn for. To put it succinctly, it's passion, purpose, and path, right? But it's more than that. I end the title of the book with the term quantum wisdom, or the subtitle, I should say. So questions, quotes, and quantum wisdom. So what is quantum wisdom? And it's, to me, it is that deepest part of ourselves where we are energetic potential. Everything is energy. Divine source is energy, and the greater the connection that we can make with divine source, the more smoothly our own energy can flow and move, and we can answer some of those deep questions, because the answers are all inside us.
Who do you find is reading your book? Have you a sense of that? I know it came out in September of 2015.
Yes. I think the people who are really connecting with it are those who are willing to do that deep work. Just yesterday, I was talking to a really good friend who is, I would say he is, well, this sounds strange, maybe, but he's well developed in all areas of his life. Is that, and he wants to know more. And this, he says, your book is like 20 books. He says, there's so much there. I have to read a scene or two and then think about it and apply it to my life. And it is not a quick read. It is not a page turner. You know, it isn't a mystery that you're going to solve at the end. I think it's a mystery that you'll take your whole life to solve, because it's an ongoing set of questions.
Right. And how has it been for you being in this vast category of self-help? Because there are so many books. I'm reading a book right now called The Four Agreements.
Yes.
And there seem to be this kind of book. How is it that you've distinguished what you've done as unique?
Because it's personal. Mm. I agree. There are many, many self-help books out there. And to look at my book as just a self-help is to limit it. It is a self-help book that moves a person along their own spiritual path. A lot of the time, books like The Four Insights, The Four Agreements, there are so many out there, they have us following somebody else's learning.
Right.
Whereas I feel when people read my book, they can be deeply reflective and find their own teacher inside them.
That's wonderful. And is it the kind of book you can pick up and read a bit of and then leave it for a while you maybe journal or think or ruminate on what you've just read?
Yes, apparently it is. And it's strange, because when I was writing it, although I knew exactly who my readers would be, I wasn't realizing that it would take them to such depths. But it definitely does. Some people have told me they can dip into the book. you know, open it at any page and find something. But there is definitely a flow to the story. The way I've crafted it is I've started by looking at a baby. What are the, apart from the baby's body, what does the baby have as its skill set to make itself known in the world? It has emotions, it has sound, and gradually it starts to develop language by hearing, by trying out sounds, by learning what sounds mean. And so that's actually where I start with the book. And I add the different skills that we acquire through life in a sort of a chronological order, if you like. That's the first part of the story. And then the middle section of the book is about the mystery. What is the mystery? And as far as I'm concerned, the world is an incredibly mysterious place. There is mystery everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yet, so much of the time, people just ignore it or accept it and don't even question it. And in doing so, discount it. But if we could have more awe about the world around us, we might come back and see ourselves as incredibly awesome beings and then realize there's vast purpose in our being here. And so are we fully connected with that purpose? And I feel this is one way to get more deeply connected with our purpose.
I have a congregation that I lead, a United Church congregation, and one of the things I encourage people to do is to pay attention to God moments. And every week we have an open floor where I ask people, where have you noticed the divine or the divine source in your everyday world?
Wonderful.
And we've been doing that for a couple of years now, and now I'm getting emails from people saying, you know, entitled God moment to tell you about.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it is beautiful, because at first it was, you know, the beautiful sunset and that kind of thing, but now they're going deeper, and
yes.
And things are catching them off guard. It's a good reminder for myself too, because of course we're all longing for that connection.
Yes, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Once we start to look for these moments, they're constant.
Absolutely.
They're here all the time. I'm already starting to write my third book.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm not going to tell you what it's all about because I haven't even necessarily figured that out, but I'm working with one question, one particular question that, well, I'll share the word. It's a word I don't understand quite yet, and the word is grace. Mm-hmm. What is grace? And I've been asking myself this question now for probably a few years and finding some answers, but not getting down to the nugget of what it is. And yesterday I made a really, really good connection on that, so I was quite delighted.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds like there's more to wait for after.
Oh, yes, I'm hoping so. Yeah.
So what would you like to give the listeners today as a takeaway to begin them on this journey?
That their life is hugely important, that they are here for a reason, and the more they know about that reason, the fuller the life that they can live. I believe we come to Earth with a set of challenges that we've developed for ourselves, not realizing how difficult they're going to be. And through those challenges, we grow. We don't grow by shying away from them, by running away from them, by ignoring them. We can only grow by facing them and then learning from them. And so I feel the greater that a person can value their own worth, the more the fuller, the richer, the broader, the more expansive their own life can be. And I feel my book is one way to help them connect with that marvelous learning that's available.
And is that where the trust piece comes in?
Oh, yes. The trust, you know, in the church, people say, I believe. Okay, believe this. But if you trust, there's a much gentler energy happening. Mm-hmm. It's as though a person is on a trampoline. You can trust that the trampoline is going to be there and it's going to bounce you back. I was saying earlier, I used to sing, and one of my accompanists, that's how we sort of came together, was it was as though he and I met on the trampoline. I sang my part, he played his part, and we came together on the trampoline. And that's how life is. Life will meet us where we are if we just trust and we relax and we accept and we appreciate all that the world has to offer.
Hmm. Well, Nina, this has been a lovely conversation and I'm intrigued. And before we go, I'm wondering if you could tell us where people can find out more.
Okay. I have a website, which is myname.ca. So it is NINASHOROPLOVA.ca. And they can find all my contact information there.
Perfect. So we'll post that on the show notes over at Influence Publishing.
Wonderful.
And this will be up on your website eventually and up on iTunes. And I thank you very much for this conversation today.
Well, Jennifer, I really appreciate this. You've helped me greatly. I really, really have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening to my conversation with Nina Shoroplova. I am hoping that you will run out and pick up your copy of Trust the Mystery. It sounds like it is a fabulous activity to be working on in 2016. So I hope that you do that and that you connect with Nina and let her know what you thought of this episode and of her book, more importantly. My name again is Jen Swanson. If you want to know more about me or come on and say hi to me, you can come on over to communicationdiva.com, where I've got a podcast and a blog and all sorts of information on helping you to deepen your communication skills. And I've got a book out there too. So until next time, keep reading, everyone.